This is Financially Speaking with the Bushka Wealth Management Team. You need a financial strategy that counts for challenges like market volatility and inflation, and that also adequately prepares you for retirement. The purpose of this show is to address common financial concerns, provide helpful strategies, and offer ways you may be able to achieve your financial goals. And now, here's Financially Speaking.
Hello and welcome to Financially Speaking. I'm Ryan Connor from Bushka Retirement Solutions and Bushka Wealth Management. January is Financial Wellness Month, a perfect time for fresh starts, reflection, and setting goals for the year ahead. Today, we're going to focus on financial wellness, what it really means, common challenges people face, and practical steps you can take to feel more confident about your money. Now, this isn't about perfection. It's about clarity, progress, and taking control of your financial future. But before we dive in, I of course need to introduce my always reliable co-host, Tony Shore.
All right. Well, thanks for doing that. Great introduction. And it is Financial Wellness Month. Seriously, great topic. I've been doing good. We just got off of a four-day weekend last weekend, and I spent some time with the fam and watching football. How about you? How have you been, Ryan? That's the question.
Yeah, you know, with two little ones, life is always busy. The youngest one, who's about 6 months old now, went through a recent spell of not wanting to sleep through the night, which was really fun for me personally, since I'm usually the one who takes care of him when he wakes up, because our daughter usually wants mom when she wakes up. So it was, you know, but he slept through the night the last few nights. So that's been a big win for me. But otherwise, you know, it's mostly the same, spending time with family. We can't go outside at all right now because it is so frigidly cold. And so, yeah, it's mostly just hanging out inside and, you know, trying to keep the little ones entertained.
Well, you know, I'm just over here across the border in Minnesota, and this past Friday, this show is airing Sunday, but this past Friday, the high, -9 for a high.
Yeah, it's
with
real
chills
dark
between here. 30 and 50 below zero. That's, you don't go outside.
Nope.
At that point.
Nope.
You cannot.
Nope.
Yeah, I told my wife, we got to be stocked up for the weekend because we're not driving
not
or
leaving
going
the house.
Anywhere.
Nope, not yeah. even doing it. Even a minute outside is just brutal in that weather.
And my 21-year-old daughter, who still thinks that it's a great idea and that somehow it saves money if she only puts $5 worth of gas at a time in her car and keeps it as close to E as humanly possible, it's somehow, how close to empty can I keep it and keep it running? And I tell her, in the winter, you do not do that, especially when it's this cold. You got to keep the gas tank full. But does she listen to me?
Oh, she's 21 years old, so no, she does not listen to me.
Exactly. Yeah. Dad doesn't know anything. Nope. I'm 21. I know everything. So, yeah. I mean, you know, I have three kids, and what I like to say, Ryan, 2 out of 3 isn't bad, right? I mean, I'm kidding. I love all three of my children dearly. You know that. I kid. So, Ryan, what's going on in your life? Anything else exciting? Been frigidly cold? Dealing with the chitlins, the children, right?
Yeah. And I mean, that's pretty much when they're that age, that's pretty much the whole life right now. So my daughter, she managed to break her finger, doing somersaults, and, she was just cleared by the doctor just to go back into gymnastics. So she's really excited about that. And so, yeah, that's kind of like takes up a decent chunk of our Sundays now, but she has a lot of fun with that. And she does it, does stuff by herself now. So the parents don't go out with her. So she is, you know, she's growing up and starting to do big kid stuff now.
That's good. I like that. I like that. So yeah, but then they get into the age where you're more and more activities and you're going to be driving them all over. And that's always fun, right?
Yep. That's what the SUV is for.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, hey, what about this topic? Where do we begin when it comes to financial wellness? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, so I think the big thing here is to kind of set the tone first about, you know, what we're really trying to do. Financial wellness isn't about perfection in a similar way to, you know, physical wellness is. It's not about being perfect every single day, but it's about engaging in a process that's going to help you progress forward with a lot of confidence. kind of the baseline things that people are talking about with financial wellness quite often are going to be things like, okay, you know, my income, my net worth, budgeting. But those are just kind of pieces of financial wellness. It's what it's really more about is having confidence in your financial future, both in the short term and the long term. Being able to handle kind of those regularly expected monthly or annual expenses, but also having the ability to handle the kind of unexpected curves that life throws at you. And in doing that, making sure that your money is ultimately aligned with what you want it to be able to do for you, again, both in the short term, but also in the long term.
I like that. You've got to have a plan. You've got to understand what this is. And I know this is something you help your clients and people you work with on. So what's next?
Yeah. So the big thing to understand is that financial wellness is going to look different for everyone and is especially going to look different with different life stages. You know, if you're someone like myself and you've got young kids, the type of stuff that you are managing and planning for in the shorter term looks a lot different than someone who is approaching retirement and what their major priorities are going to be. When you are younger, you have a younger family, you know, you're looking at things like, okay, budgeting, helping to manage the expenses that come with having children, you know, whether it's daycare, those activities, you know, we were talking about that take up so much of the free time. But as you know, once your kids start to get older, well, then you're starting to plan for expenses like, you know, having to perhaps get them a vehicle, college expenses, how much support you want to do for things like that. And then, you know, if you are approaching retirement or in retirement, well, a lot of those expenses are gone. So what you are focusing on is more, you know, income management from the money you've been able to save over the course of time. And so there's no, you know, cookie cutter way to necessarily go about it because the different life stages you are in are going to have different priorities. You know, it's not about how much you make at any given time of life either. It's about how well the plan you put together supports your life again, both in the short term and in the long term.
Yeah, I think a lot of what you're talking about there, or an aspect of it, correct me if I'm wrong, is I've heard the term time horizon. Everybody's time horizon is a bit different. My timer, obviously, you're relating a lot of this to children there and kids and what stage they're at. And of course, me, all three of my kids now have graduated from college. So we're empty nesters. And, you know, we're starting to really look hardcore at retirement. And when is that going to happen? What are our goals? Where are we going to go? When are we going to downsize? That type of thing. But everybody's time horizon is different when you need your money. And that time horizon or, you know, what stage you're at has a lot to do with your financial wellness and your overall financial planning, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. The way you want to, you know, if we look at it strictly from an investing perspective, if you're someone who's, you know, younger and you are, you know, 20 plus years from retirement, the way that you want to structure your investment strategy is going to look very different than if you're someone who is either retired or maybe 5 years from retirement and really wants to prepare your investments for that, you know, we call it the kind of that income phase of life. And so both in terms of, you know, the way you want to manage your day-to-day cash flows, you know, with your budgeting, your net income, but also the way that you're going to manage your investment portfolio are going to look dramatically different depending on that time horizon.
Yeah, obviously it's going to look much different based on that. So when it comes to financial wellness and financial well-being, looking at where you're at is a big part of that. But what actually gets in the way of financial wellness, of being financially set or sound or ready for retirement? What can derail us along this wellness path?
Yeah, the biggest thing that is going to derail most folks is procrastination. You know, it is definitely the enemy of almost any good financial plan is simply not really going about making one at all.
So yeah, I wanted to talk to you about this for quite some time, but I've been putting it off.
Look at you with your jokes.
See with the jokes. Oh, yeah. All right.
But with procrastination, I mean, to be honest, you know, even as someone who works in this field, I can understand that for the vast majority of folks, putting together these financial plans isn't exactly the most fun thing to do. And with all the things we have going on in our day-to-day lives, this is a very easy thing to just put off because, you know, if you're getting by as is, you know, it's easy to just not try and put together any sort of plan for the future or try to put even together a plan for your short term if you're kind of making things work as is, even if it's not optimal, even if it's not putting you on a strong footing. And so that type of procrastination is absolutely enemy number one. Whether you are a younger person or someone who is even in retirement, procrastination is always problem number one, which then leads to problem number two, which is a lack of a clear plan. So maybe they've got some rough ideas, but they don't really have a clear plan. They don't have a dedicated process for how they're going to, you know, accomplish their short-term and long-term objectives. They're just kind of winging it. Which is how a lot of people kind of go through it, which is, you know, definitely not the optimal way to go about doing things if you want to actually implement a plan well.
You want to avoid some of these barriers to financial wellness. I think having a clear plan, working with a trusted financial services professional can help you overcome these barriers, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and one of those things, you know, with working with a financial services professional can help with kind of the third and fourth biggest barriers we see. The third one is generally going to be feeling overwhelmed by the choices that you have. So, you know, the thing I always say about, you know, finance when I'm talking to clients is that there's an overwhelming number of financial products, financial strategies out there. And none of them are perfect. They're all going to have their own trade-offs. And our job as that financial services professional is to help folks sift through that, you know, overwhelming stack of options to find the best one for them, which leads to that fourth one, which is the fear of making the wrong decision when they are putting together any sort of plan. That's where having the expertise of a financial services professional is really, really valuable to help, again, pick out the ones that maybe don't make sense for you to find the right one for you and your family situations. One of the things that I always talk about when clients are kind of at that point where they're not sure what they want to do and if they want to make a decision one way or another is that by choosing to do nothing, you are just choosing the status quo, which is still a decision. So you're still making a decision. You're just choosing to stay where you are at. And so sometimes we get, you know, decision paralysis where we don't want to make a decision, but that is still making a decision for the status quo, which may not serve you best in the long run. So this can, you know, bring about all sorts of stress and anxiety. And really one of our big jobs as that financial services professional is to try and minimize those feelings, lay something out clear, and provide guidance along the way to help folks down the path that is best for them.
Well, there's such an emotional aspect to money and finances, and that's where people get into trouble. You've talked about it on past shows where we can't let our emotions dictate our financial decisions, or we let our finances cause so much stress, which can actually cause harm to our physical well-being. So financial wellness is tied to our health and you know, physical wellness. And that's where stress, anxiety, guilt, avoidance, you've talked about a couple of times, you mentioned that. We do avoid the tough topics. You know, we avoid dealing with, hey, I don't have an emergency fund set up. You need that. That's an aspect of financial wellness. You know, we're going to talk about these things. But that is a huge barrier, is letting our emotions become involved, which again, and I don't mean to harp on this topic, but that's where using a financial services professional like yourself and the team there at Bushka is great, because they don't have the same emotional attachment you do, and they can really look at it and say, hey, no, this is the best decision, keep you from making overly emotional decisions with your finances that could be costly mistakes, right?
Exactly. And, you know, and one of the ways, you know, that we try and help with that is kind of taking things one step at a time. So the good news about financial wellness, you know, this is something that I think a lot of like physical wellness people talk about is, you know, a lot of folks come January, set these like, you know, okay, I'm going to eat really, really well. And I'm going to go to the gym 6 days a week, and I'm going to run, you know, 5 miles a week. And you know, anyone who operates, you know, professionally in that space will tell you, okay, that you're trying to do too much at one time. Like start with one thing, create a habit there, and then move on to the next thing. Financial wellness can work the exact same way. It's not about, you know, doing everything and figuring out the entirety of your situation and coming up with this extremely comprehensive plan all at once. We want to start and take things kind of one at a time, build a strong foundation that we can then add better habits and better intentions on top of that as well. So there are, you know, some kind of pillars that we start with. And the first one is going to be that simple kind of day-to-day piece of like cash flow and budget awareness, you know, knowing how much money you're bringing in every month and then understanding where that money is going. And
not living beyond your means. Is that what you're telling me, that I actually have to start? I can't spend more than I make.
You know, you probably shouldn't as an individual go about doing that, because down the road that becomes very well. The thing I always tell folks is personal finances are distinctly different than government finances. If you can get someone to offer you loan rates at 30 years at about 4%, then we will talk.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Okay, Ryan, good point. But they do set a bad example even with that, as far as spending to income ratio, right?
You know, so with that cash flow and budget piece, you know, a lot of times when people are thinking about budgets, they think like, okay, their finances are being restricted. You know, they have to stay within it. And really what it's about is actually about creating more flexibility long term. Because you can allow yourself to set yourself up for success and more flexibility down the road, even if it involves making some changes in the short term. You know, the first thing, you know, once we have a base level understanding, is to focus on preparing for emergencies. You talked about it earlier, the absolute importance of an emergency fund. It is like step number one when it comes to saving. You know, once you've got your basic cash flow and budget stuff set up, is saving and having an emergency fund. You know, generally recommended somewhere between 6 and 9 months of monthly expenses. You know, and that's going to change for different folks depending on, you know, what your income stream looks like and what your expenses look like. You know, for someone who has variable compensation, they probably want to have a little bit more saved in case, you know, their industry is going through a slow period. Someone who is on a structured income, and maybe doesn't have as large of expenses, can have a little bit smaller emergency funds, and since there is a little bit of stability in their situation. But having that is absolutely step number one, because without having our short-term potential problems solved, we can't even begin to think about longer-term issues.
That's true. You have to take care of that. You have to look at that. That's the starting point. That's the first pillar to address, right?
Absolutely. And then from there, it's going to be, you know, step number three is like debt management. You know, and there are some schools of thought in finance that say, you know, okay, all debt is bad debt. You should not have debt. And I vehemently disagree with.
Yeah, I do. That. I do as well.
Number one, it's for the overwhelming majority of folks, that's not even remotely reasonable to implement.
Right. To pay cash for it's tough. It's great if you can pay cash for everything, but it's not realistic in our current society. Plus, isn't a good point if you can get, like right now I have a 2.9% mortgage.
Yeah, you know, the joke I always make for
why would I use my money or money I've saved that I can use for retirement to pay off my house, when I should just use the bank's money, because I'm getting the bank's money at 2.9. I can earn more than that on my own money if I leave it invested.
Exactly. Yeah, that's one of the things I actually joke about with clients who are in a similar situation where, you know, if your interest rate is, you know, 2.5, 3, 3.5, even 4%, like on these mortgages, I say, well, if you could go to the bank and you could theoretically have them extend that for 100 years rather than whatever term left is on your mortgage, you know, the bank's going to laugh you out of the room because they don't want to do that. Right. Now, we talked about, you know, some good debts, you know, low interest, appreciating assets, you know, mortgages for most folks going to be the primary avenue for that.
Yeah.
Bad debt is going to be high cost. So when I mean high cost, you're looking at very high interest rates if you're carrying it. So the biggest one on there is if you're carrying credit card balances month over month, you look at the typical cost of those, you know, usually going to be north of 15 or even north of 20% annual interest costs. Basically, no investment strategy reliably is going to be able to provide you returns to that level. Yeah. And so you're not going to be able to dig yourself out of that issue by just trying to out-invest the cost. So that's one where we actually want to focus putting money towards paying off those bad debts. And then once that is done, then look at saving strategies. And then, you know, once we've taken care of, you know, any bad debts from there, then we can start looking at saving and investing. Now, there's really two key points here. Number one, we want to save with intention, which what we mean when we say saving with intention is having a dedicated purpose for those dollars. So if you are an investor who is younger and investing for retirement, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years from now, you want to be saving in a particular manner and putting your dollars into particular asset types. If you are someone who is planning on retiring in the relatively near future or is already retired, you want to be invested in a materially different structure because your risk tolerance and your timeline are quite a bit different. So in this situation, there's no one-size-fits-all rule. And this is where, as a financial services professional, our value is probably maximized, is figuring out and helping folks figure out, okay, I am saving, but I'm not sure if I'm putting my money in the correct thing. This is where going through their situation, identifying their timeline, identifying an appropriate risk tolerance for them is extremely, extremely high value.
Yeah. I mean, obviously saving and investing is huge. That is high value. And this is where you really come in. And I know you can help people figure out what their own risk tolerance is. It may, you know, they answer a few questions, say, well, actually, you know, you have pretty high risk tolerance or you have very low risk tolerance, and then work out that timeline and when they're going to need money and how much they need to leave at risk, that type of thing, and how much they can, you know, is still sleep at night and have in risk. So saving and investing is big. These are all important, really. It's hard to rank them. What's next on the list?
Yeah. So the next piece is retirement readiness. Now, when you're younger, this is very, very difficult to do because the uncertainty level is very high. So it's mostly about creating good practices, following best practices to make sure you're setting yourself up for kind of this pre-retirement phase. Once we kind of get into pre-retirement, which is kind of 5 to 10 years before retirement, we want to look at retirement readiness, figuring out, you know, not just what our account balances are, but actually how we start to distribute the assets that we have to ourselves in retirement. That'll tie into the things that we talked about earlier, like risk tolerance, making sure our investment structures are appropriate to manage them. But then figuring out the nitty gritty about, okay, you know, I'm not working anymore. Where are my paychecks coming from? How am I paying myself? What income planning options do I have? And about putting together a comprehensive plan for that. You know, once we've done that, then it's about looking at, you know, protection planning, you know, whether it's insurances, estate planning basics, you know, working to protect what you've spent, you know, decades to build.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you've worked so hard all your working years and you've put in, you want to make sure that you're not making costly mistakes and blowing it and can have a comfortable retirement, right?
Absolutely. You know, that is, and it really, you know, what all of this is ultimately about is, like, yes, it's about creating, you know, a better life on the spreadsheet, you know, making sure that, you know, your cash flows are appropriate, making sure that you're saving correctly. It all looks nice and pretty on the spreadsheet. But the actual benefits of it are primarily emotional. Because when our finances feel organized, our stress decreases, our confidence and our plan increases, the decisions that we have to make on a day-to-day basis feel easier because we have a set of principles we are following as we are going through them. And we understand we have created a situation where we have wiggle room and freedom to make decisions.
Yeah.
Because the financial wellness isn't just about the numbers. It's actually, most importantly, about creating peace of mind for the folks that we work with.
Yeah, that's huge, obviously. And that's why you create a written plan for people that includes all of these things we've been talking about. So what's next?
You know, with January being Financial Wellness Month, this is, you know, a perfect time to you know, go and try and make sure that you are following best principles for your stage of life, to make sure that you are putting yourself in a position to have financial wellness, not just today, but also 10 years from now and 15 years from now. So, you know, we encourage folks to try and take one intentional step this month towards financial wellness. You know, whether that is something like actually getting a handle on your cash flow and budget, whether that's making sure you've got an emergency fund prepared, whether it's taking the time to sit down and understanding your debt situation and, you know, how to prioritize that, whether it's putting together a savings plan or sitting down and analyzing your saving and investment plan, putting together a retirement timeline, or sitting down with a professional who can assist you with doing these various different things, that's going to set you up for some success ultimately down the road. And do not be afraid to ask questions. You know, no one person is an expert in all things. The particular area we are experts in is this financial planning process. And so do not be afraid to you know, reach out to us and ask questions if you have them. We are more than happy to assist folks on this financial wellness journey.
Unfortunately, we're almost out of time. I think we could talk about this topic quite a bit. There's always a lot to cover. Financial wellness encompasses quite a bit and pretty much everything you do there at Bushka, and you have it all under one roof for people. So I encourage them to get in contact with you, because we all need financial well-being, because it helps us sleep well at night. It helps us stay healthier, have a happier, longer, healthier retirement and more comfortable retirement, right?
Absolutely. You know, financial wellness isn't about having it all figured out. It's about having a plan that helps you move forward with that confidence. And like you said, the most important thing isn't about making it look pretty on the spreadsheet. It's about giving you the confidence to go through your day-to-day life without the stresses that, you know, financial problems can bring about. Yep. Now, if any of you folks have any questions about retirement or your overall financial strategy, you can visit our website at www.retirewithbushka.com or give us a call at 715-355-4445. We'd love to help you protect your savings, feel confident about the road ahead, and put together a comprehensive financial wellness plan for you.
All right. Well, great show. You covered a lot of ground today, Ryan. That was great. Good information for our listeners and viewers. And listeners and viewers, thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of Financially Speaking with our host, Ryan Connor.
Thank you for joining us for Financially Speaking. Don't head into retirement without a strategy that addresses both income and taxes. For more information, please contact the Bushka Wealth Management Team at 715-355-4445 or visit retirewithbushka.com now. Join us again soon for another episode of Financially Speaking.
Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Bushka Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Wisconsin. Insurance products and services are offered through Bushka Retirement Solutions, Inc. Bushka Wealth Management, LLC, and Bushka Retirement Solutions, Inc. are affiliated companies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.